Hello, Autism Warrior, and welcome to Barefoot Autism Warriors podcast. I'm Ninka Bernadette Mauritsen, and I am here to tell you that autism is a consciousness test, it's a wake-up call, and it's your chance to turn your life around. And when you do, everything changes. So I'm excited about this. I'm going to take you in this video from my son, who followed all the milestones as a baby and went into severe regressive autism and back to neurotypical, a life without those symptoms. I'm going to take you back step by step. Let's go. What if you could walk in my footsteps and understand exactly what worked and what didn't work for my son's autism turnaround, where he went from stimming, sleepless nights, eloping, lining things up, rigidity, picky eating, no sleep, no bonding, and no learning, to none of those symptoms? What if you could speed up the process for your child and avoid falling into the traps that I went into? What are some of the setbacks that I had that actually made it take longer for my child to get to a better place and to independency? Now he's living independently. And what can you do to avoid wasting any time, to avoid spending time on anything that doesn't work, from tests to supplements to food to lifestyle interventions? You need to know exactly what to do. It can be really confusing, because out there are so many people telling you, you need to do this detox, this protocol, this diet, this test. And if you knew exactly what works and what doesn't work, wouldn't that make life easier for you? That's what I'm sharing in this video. In my previous podcast episode, I shared the full timeline for my son's turnaround process up until now, where he's living independently. I'll share below and at the end of this video. If you missed it, go back and watch it. It's really important. But that was 20 years of continuous trial and error, making mistakes, finding the right tools, wasting a lot of time and a lot of money on protocols and practitioners and therapies that did not work. And I want to save you and spare you those disappointments. So in this video and upcoming videos, I want to share behind the scenes what happened in those silent years. How can you use this to prevent symptoms from developing? What are some of the early signs that you need to take seriously and act on? How can you spend your time and your money wisely on things that actually work against tantrums, regression, sleepless nights, picky eating, lining things up, eloping? And what are the missing links that they don't tell you that you can then take charge of and change when it comes to the diagnosis and the interventions? Because if you take a look at the messages and the reasons why symptoms happen, and you address those messages and symptoms, and the symptoms actually change or disappear, would you then want to go and get a diagnosis in the first place? Or would you want to turn every stone before you do that? And even if you had the diagnosis, even if your child is older than mine, is it ever too late? And wouldn't you want to turn every stone so that you know that you have done everything you can do to get your child to the best possible outcome and to as much independence as possible? That's what we're going to do in this video, from my pregnancy until my child was born and all throughout the years from age 0 to 8, where we looked at each other, my husband and I, and we said he no longer has autism symptoms. Let's get into it so that you can start implementing these tools. I want to start with the beginning, because I think it's important for you to know how I think I could have prevented these symptoms from happening, and I could have given my child more development in his early years if I had known what I'm about to share with you. And I wish I knew the early signs that I needed to change things, and I wish I knew this before I even got pregnant. So that's why I want to share that with you. First of all, I came into pregnancy completely detached from my body. I had lived my youth, my teenage years, completely like a head on a stick. I didn't understand my body. I didn't feed my body well. I didn't treat myself well, because I come from a traumatic background, and I'm not raised to be kind and nice to myself. I'm raised to push myself. I'm raised to just... I was just eating crappy foods, drinking, smoking, staying up late, and I didn't have good values as I came into this pregnancy. Now, this might not be your case, but you might still be detached from your body due to stress and due to just simply not knowing your body and yourself really at this point. And so I was not eating healthily during pregnancy. I was eating a lot of candy, and I took it as an opportunity to not have to suck in my stomach because I had gained a lot of weight recently, just before I got pregnant. And so my child, what you got to understand is that the mapping, the gene mapping, happens when you conceive and in 14 days after that. Most of us don't even know we are pregnant then. But that is where the mapping of, for example, something as important as methylation abilities takes place. Methylation is something that affects neurotransmitters, enzymes, hormones, overall health, mental health, the risk for having a child that's got birth defects or even stillborn babies. Autism and developmental issues later in life is increased if you are experiencing methylation issues. And many of us, autism moms and us with autistic children, that's what we have. That's what we are dealing with. We have under-methylation going on in our families often. And so that also links to a lot of mental health issues like anxiety and eating disorders and depression. And so that can actually exacerbate a bad lifestyle or poor diet or not wanting to get out and move around, and also poor decision making. So that's one thing that caused it for me. Another thing that caused it for me, I think, was that I gave birth in a hospital, so my child didn't get the natural healthy bacteria. It got hospital bacteria in the microbiome, and the birth took a long time, took around 17 hours. And my son came out quite weak because the placenta wasn't really feeding him at this point. And then it just went, I was super authority obedient. That's what I wanted to say. So when the nurse told me to breastfeed, to stop breastfeeding and giving him bottle to make sure that he got enough to eat, I did that. When they told me to give him antibiotics, I did that. When they told me to give them the things, you know, the pokes at the well visits, I did that. So another reason why autism happened in my case, and why you need to really be aware of this, is the many times that my conscience and my heart said no and I said yes were part of the reasons why these triggers just kept piling up for my child. So it's not one thing like a V shot or formula or methylation or genetics or environment. It's not one thing. It's a lot of different things that end up giving that child so many triggers that the child flips over in different autism symptoms, which means that you can also remove those triggers and make a difference, pull back and turn every stone to get your child to the best possible outcome without those triggers. You just got to remember, when you want to implement the things that I tell you about now, is one thing is to remove the symptoms by removing the triggers. Then you have to go back and heal those broken pieces in the gut, the immune system, neurologically and nervous system, environment. And then you need to leave time and space for redeveloping those cells and those skills and the brain and the neurology, the pathways, the immune system, the gut, the microbiome. So it's not just a one-step process. And this is why the whole autism turnaround autism recovery community is not seeing results. It's because we look at it just like the allopathic medicine. Just look at a symptom. What is the symptom showing me that I'm lack in my diet or nutrition wise? And then I'm just going to take a supplement, or I'm going to do a detox to get rid of that symptom. That is not what's going to lead to long-term healing, because you're not dealing with the root cause, you're not going back and repairing, and then you're not rebuilding those skills and those body parts that were affected in the first place that gave your child a hole, a missing link, a gap in development. And that's what I'm super passionate about doing. If you're already a bit overwhelmed and you feel like, I need help implementing this, I need to walk in your footsteps, Ninka, I just want to say, I'm not a doctor, I'm not here to diagnose or treat or anything, but I can be there with you. I can be that older sister who's been through all of this and now have a son who lives independently and have none of the symptoms left. And if that's something you're interested in, you can do one of two things. You can go to barefootautismwarriors.com and download one of my free gifts that automatically brings you to my email list, and you'll hear from me every week. You can also just reply to one of those emails and we can talk. We can connect about what's going on with your child and what might be broken and missing that we might be able to come up with a plan for. You can also say, hey, I want to send you an email right now. I want to get started. I'm at point of no return. I've tried everything. I don't have time to wait. And you can do that. Just send me an email, contact@barefootautismwarriors.com, and just write, I need help, and I'm there for you. Back to the podcast. So here's what I would have done now to prevent autism. This is what I would suggest anyone who wants a child today in this modern world, where autism prevention is important for everybody, because 1 in 6 children can end up getting a diagnosis if we don't understand these things that they don't understand in the system that actually diagnose our children. They don't understand in mainstream pediatrics. And most nurses and other moms are unaware of these facts too. So we create a baby on the back burner of the lifestyle and the nervous system and the overall health or lack of that we have been exposed to or exposed ourselves to 1 to 2 years before ever becoming pregnant. That's why I often say autism happened way before I got pregnant. It happened because I was detached from my body. It happened because I didn't nourish myself. It happened because I ate a lot of junk food and sugar, and I had a lot of red wine in my years leading up to pregnancy. I wasn't sleeping enough, and I was toxic. My immune system was malfunctioning. I was inflamed, and so there was not a lot to build a baby from in the first place. And then we add on this whole world and all the triggers and all the pollutants in this world. And then there's undermethylation, which runs in my family. So it's inherited. If you have mental health issues in your family, if you have a lot of depression or rigidity or OCD-like symptoms, addictions, that might be a case for you as well. This is something that we need to take into consideration before getting pregnant and during pregnancy, because when there's undermethylation, it affects neurotransmitters, enzymes, hormones, mental health, overall health, your risk for having a child with autism, behavioral issues, and yourself struggling with depression, rigidity, and mental health issues during and after pregnancy is huge, and eating disorders as well. So how do we support methylation? Well, the easiest way to do that, without getting into too much detail, I'll link to more videos about methylation and how to understand the specifics of this at the end of this video. But the main thing is, we do not do well on extreme diets. It doesn't matter if it's a keto diet, a vegan diet, or a carnivore diet, it's not a good idea for us. It just isn't. And the reason is that we need a whole variety of all the macros and micronutrients. So we need animal-based protein. We need vegetables, berries, fruit, cooked and cooled starchy vegetables. We need good fats, we need nuts, we need to feed the gut, but we also need to understand that with methylation comes folate intolerance. So all the green juices that people are so crazy about can actually exacerbate the problems for undermethylators, including the risk for having a child with autism and for our own mental health problems as well. So my child was dealing with that, and I didn't figure this out until way too late. But folic acid is a problem for these children. Methylfolate can exacerbate symptoms, any symptom of autism for these children, and mood swings, tantrums, and these seasonal allergies and eczemas. The high glutamate foods is an issue, the high histamine foods issue. So we don't want the bone broth and the protein powder and the endless green juices and green powders and multivitamins and spectrum vitamins and the methylated B vitamins, because we just do that. Actually, in most cases, make our symptoms and children with autism worse when they're dealing with autism with the undermethylation. And just want to say again, 90 to 98% of children with autism have methylation issues. So it's not a question of, do my child have an issue with this? It's a question of, how affected am I and my child? And so you want to make sure that you create a foundation for that. And I know that you'll say, okay, what tests do I do? What supplements do I take? And again, we are too complicated and way too individual in our needs for me to be able to tell you anything in a video about this. It takes me 4 months to take moms through a training in methylation, how to regulate and balance methylation, pyrrole disorder, nutritional overload and deficiencies, gut healing, food, how to avoid triggering symptoms. And I'm not an expert in that, so I have made sure that the best experts that I know teach you that inside my membership. So if you want to learn that, that's the only place that I can offer to teach you that. But so addressing methylation issues before getting pregnant is really important, and don't get into any of those supplements or diets without knowing exactly what your biotype is. I wish I had known that. And then I wish I had given birth at home rather in the hospital so that my child's gut bacteria wasn't destroyed from day one. Children born in hospitals, their microbiome, their gut bacteria is hospital bacteria rather than the healthy immune boosting bacteria from mom. I wish I hadn't bottle fed my child and exposed my child to baby food early on, but that I wish I had breastfed him all the way through 8-12 months and then introduced real organic foods rather than those baby foods that were full of processed gluten and dairy and just junk food basically, because he had a lot of eczema and allergies and in like buildup of triggers that then led to more and more symptoms down the line. So he developed normally, but every time I overheard that no inside me and let them do the things that they do to babies, he got worse. And I wish I hadn't done that. So the well visits, I wish I'd listened to the intuition that I had inside me. I wish I had learned how to take care of myself. But without us knowing what does it actually feel like to be healthy and well-nourished and well-slept and move around in nature and have muscle and actually have a great healthy life, without knowing that, we tend to not be able to give our children the gift of health. And it took me so long to get to the point where I understood that I could only get my child as healthy, as changed, and understand my child to the level that I had become healthy and changed and understood myself. So I had to become severely obese, depressed, have cellulite all over my body, bad breath, sugar addictions, depression, sleep issues, constipation, just bad body odor, and complete lack of energy and all my hormones completely tanked before I woke up and changed everything. Sometimes we need to get to a real point of no return, to our knees, to be able to and ready to let go of the things that we need to let go of in order to turn symptoms around. And that's a lot of things that we need to let go of. And I had to get to that point of no return by seeing my son get severely, severely autistic in front of my eyes from functioning normally. So he developed age appropriately. I had all the notes from the nurse, eye contact, movement. He developed fully the way that he should until around age 15 months, where he had his pokes and he had the formula and the baby food, and we lived in the city and I was stressed out and the diet was horrible and the stress levels were horrible. My nervous system was all whacked and all these triggers then led for him to become completely apathetic. And so from 15 months, at 15 months, he went 911, ambulance, seizures, turned blue, and he never really came back from there. In the beginning, after the shot and the hospitalization, he then, it was like something glazed over. He was gone. And he was just staring into the wall. He didn't bond with us. He didn't contact. He didn't babble. He stopped being there. It was like we lost him. And I was in denial of that. I talked about that in my previous podcast episode about the full timeline of the turnaround. And so I was in denial until he turned 3 and I had my second child, the baby, where he switched almost overnight from apathic, quiet, non-speaking, just not there, to aggressive, violent, eloping, screaming, sensory issues. It was like night and day, his behaviors. And again, it was just a question of the load just kept increasing. What happened then was that the attention that I actually needed to give to myself first and then him, now we had to divide it into three persons. And subconsciously, I think he knew that. And then also it was an accumulation of triggers, food triggers, environmental triggers, nervous system triggers, physical triggers, and spiritual triggers. I did not want to wake up. I was still asleep. I was numbing out. I was a baby having a baby. I was literally that unpresent. I was not present in my body. I was there physically, but I wasn't present because I was checked out in order to not feel the pain of having treated myself like that, my children like that, denied myself and my intuition, and not been a great parent because I was no good parent to myself, that I was not present, and he hated it. He couldn't stand it. These children hate when we're not treating ourselves well. So at the age of 3, he flipped and he became severely autistic, aggressive, eloping, screaming, tantrums, didn't sleep, night terrors, sensory issues, picky eating, and just silly laughter, no bonding. We couldn't go anywhere with him. We couldn't be in the car with him. All those things. It was like he took it to the extreme to force us to change. So that's what happened. And let me tell you what happened next. So let me just move this microphone. I've got a lot of notes here I've got to look at. So yes, what we did in the beginning helped. We did something really drastic. I'm a journalist. I started traveling to conferences for medical professionals and other moms, and I learned a lot from, and I got a really good mentor. I learned a lot from the biomedical community back then in the early 2000s. But I also made a lot of mistakes. We'll get to that in a moment. I just want to tell you what worked, and I just want to tell you also why you can't just necessarily copy all of it, but you can do some of the things, and that will definitely be a good idea. We want to turn every stone right to get our child to the best possible outcome. What we did do was we removed all screens and gaming. We literally took the TV and got rid of it. That was tricky because when you take away that babysitter, it was our babysitter, it was our free time, because all the other times when the kids weren't in front of screens, there was screaming and arguments and we had no peace. Literally everything had to do with autism and coping with autism and coping with the fact that my child was constantly in danger. So that was tricky. Also because we used the TV and we used the food and we used the red wine to numb ourselves out from the pain and to cope. All of a sudden, when you remove all that, you're left with who you have become, who you really are, the partner that you're with, the parent that you've become, the reality, the many things and the many pains and the much, all of the grief that you have numbed out from, you have not been wanting to feel. You're forced to face your reality. And that's a good thing, but it's also an extremely hard thing because it was like, who have I become? Is this it? Is this our life? You know, is this our life? Seriously, I didn't even want that life. I was looking at myself. This is what I looked like. Severely obese, severely unhealthy, severely unhappy, severely actually not wanting to live anymore, severely immature emotionally and spiritually. But hey, here's what we did. We removed the distractions and the ADHD provokers, like the screens and the gaming. We got rid of all the things that I had learned in the biomedical field that were triggers of symptoms that we just needed to get rid of. We filtered the water. We got rid of food dyes and additives and sugar and gluten and dairy and the neuroexcitatory foods. So we removed all the the mood triggers and the symptom triggers that could cause an exacerbation of symptoms based on the undermethylation and based on the nutritional overload and the nutritional deficiencies. I didn't know that back then, but that was what happened. But there was a reason why it didn't create lasting change and why we got better but not healthy. So we removed all that, and then we just literally served up, and I can show you a picture of what that looked like. We had these buffets of fruit, vegetables, dip, and nuts, and different servings of meats, different servings of berries, and we made it look nice. We made it look tempting, and we literally, we put it out, and we let the kids taste it, and then we took it away if they didn't want anything. And in the beginning, they didn't want anything, because all my autistic child wanted to eat was peanut butter, nuggets, pizza, and that was basically it. But it did not take long for him to get hungry enough to start experimenting and trying. And one of the things that I teach moms inside my program is how to overcome picky eating. It's actually one of the easier things to do, but it does require a lot of self-knowledge and some specific step-by-step techniques to do that. So we got rid of that, we got rid of toxins, we moved out from the city, we took away the food triggers, and then we started supplementing with nutrients, which we thought was a good idea. We thought it was a good idea to create these huge green smoothies and to give my child methylated B vitamins and B12 and multivitamins and loads of fish oil. I had no idea that that actually exacerbated some of his symptoms, but I'll get to that in a moment. But with these interventions, some of the symptoms actually went away. He started sleeping at night. He stopped swinging light switches. The aggression was less and less, not completely gone, and you'll understand why. But that gave us hope, I thought, because that was actually what I wanted. I wanted to see if I can get more sleep and see if I can get my child to a better outcome, a better life, better quality of life. And that actually happened within a couple of months. We started exercising his brain. We started stimulating his brain. We started getting outside every day, exercising to stimulate him neurologically. We spent time outside, period. And we changed our beauty products, our house products. We didn't have anything toxic. We had a filter to filter the air. We did Epsom baths every night. And then I got into the many distractions of the biomedical field that I can see so many moms get distracted by now. And this is why we have so many Facebook groups that actually don't really help moms get lasting results. Yeah, you'll get some results, but they don't last, because every child is different and every child's nutritional needs change all the time. So you need to be able to adjust accordingly. And I didn't know that. I wanted a biomedical doctor to tell me, okay, this is heavy metals. You need to do a detox. You need to do a detox protocol. Or this is about the immune system. You need to supplement to support the immune system. Or this is a MTHFR deficiency, so you need methylfolate. And all of that is actually not true. And all these functional medicine and biomedical practitioners, they do this in with the best intentions. They do all these tests and they sell us all these supplements. But it actually is not what's going to lead to lasting change. And what I saw was that my children looked increasingly ill, and that I had a lot of setbacks with my autistic child. And that was because I didn't understand then, and the biomedical industry didn't, the functional medicine practitioners did not understand back then, the complexity and the individuality of adjusting methylation. These things, the practitioners learn more and more every single month. And unless you keep up with that, or unless you know who to work with, because there are not a lot of practitioners who understand both the testing and the adjusting and the maintaining of these things. So you need to become a mom who collect all these pieces of the puzzle for your child and know how to monitor and decide whether or not it's working. And then you need to stop focusing so intensely on symptoms and treatment of symptoms, because 70% of this journey is about you, and I'll get to that in 1 second. I just want you to know about a couple of things that I wasted time on that I don't think is worth it for anybody. One is ABA and OT and speech therapy indoors for hours, when the underlying reason why our children cannot speak is underdevelopment in the brain that we can actually address outside, doing specific neurological exercises, but also addressing the root cause and the nutritional parts of this. And the biological issues that these children are dealing with. So ABA we stopped, OT we stopped, and the speech therapy kind of therapies and special needs we stopped, because it turned us into dependent and helpless people who always had to ask these experts for advice and for money and serve them our sob stories to get it. And then it led to a lot of indoor time for my child, repeating, and not getting to a lasting change. It was not bang for the buck. Neither was the Doman method. Hours and hours and hours and hours of training that helps when you do it, but does not create lasting neurological changes, because it doesn't create more stem cells. It doesn't create new pathways. You have to maintain it. And it's too much work. You don't need to do 8 hours or 4 hours, 3 hours every day of that type of exercise. And then all the tests and the supplements and the detox protocols. And it's almost like it's worse now, but it was bad then. There's a doctor and a protocol and a supplement shop for each approach. And all these practitioners have their own special field. They're either into detox, or they're into blaming the shots, or they're into heavy metals, or they are the gut doctors. And it's not the way that healing works, and it's not the way that autism works. Autism is not a one cause, one solution kind of thing, and the only one who can collect all the puzzle pieces for the complete healing puzzle for you is you. And yes, there might be something in testing. There might be a supplement that you might need. There might be a point of time where you can work with a practitioner, but it's not the first step. It's not the only step. And it's not about delegating that responsibility, because it led us down some rabbit holes. And my son got worse on the specific carbohydrate diet. He got extremely ill doing a heavy metal detox. And I just want to say I've learned that many children never get ready for a detox, and it can create lasting changes and lasting damage, because you just recirculate toxins. You don't actually excrete them. And when there's a methylation issue, that causes problems with detoxification. And that's a real risk factor. And 98% of the children deal with that. So why would you do a detox that then free up heavy metals into the bloodstream that then cross through the blood-brain barrier and cause more harm than when it was just stored in the fat tissue? So the hair mineral testing, using hair strands to determine what supplements you need and what you don't need, that's a waste of time. The probiotics, high in histamine, actually exacerbates symptoms for many children. The fish oil, which we gave our child because he has had pyrrole disorder, elevated cryptopyrroles, fish oil and fasting can exacerbate all the symptoms of tantrums and aggression and agitation when you do that in a child where the copper and zinc levels aren't balanced out first. The gluten and dairy-free diet, just switching to plant-based, exacerbates symptoms because it's so high in copper, and that was the reason why there was a problem in the first place. So you can't just replace dairy with a lot of plant-based products and get a great long-term result. That's why you need to understand, what's my child's needs right now? How do I monitor it, and how do I adjust it? And what types of food can I use that don't cause new types of problems? And so multivitamins, no go. Methylfolate is no go. The MTHFR tests won't give you any indication of what to eat and not eat and take and not take. So that's a massive red flag if someone is offering you that. The specific carbohydrate diet, so the keto diets and the carnivore diets will be in that same category. My son got so ill, I actually thought he was dying. Enemas to get rid of parasites ruin the microbiome in the body, which then impairs the immune system. So that's a really bad idea, as well as the green smoothies, because we are folate intolerant when we are undermethylated, so it makes matters worse. And the same with the bone broth and the fermented vegetables, which I also did, and I didn't understand why my son's eczema and aggression and asthma-like symptoms got worse when I did that. So all in all these tests and protocols and practitioners and diets was a massive sidestep, and I wasted a lot of time that he could have used healing had I understood how children actually need to be fed based on the feedback that you get from them and based on what we are designed to eat and how our nutritional needs change all the time, and how important it was that I learned to do that for myself first. I wouldn't have wasted literally thousands on tests and travel and practitioners. I spent so much on that, and it was a waste of time. Multivitamins is never a good idea because some of the ingredients will work against your purpose and some of them will work for you, and you will never know which ones are good for your child and which ones are bad. And B complex, same thing, because B12 and methylfolate can exacerbate symptoms, as well as the fish oil, the iron, the copper that is in some supplements as well. So there's no way around educating yourself and becoming an expert. And so I was so lucky, I got a mentor, Dr. Bradstreet, who's now no longer with us because he passed not that long ago. But he taught me so much. And it was a lot of trial and error. And I think it's why it took so long. It took until my son was 8 until we could finally say, and we took him from school and just homeschooled him and just fed him well, took him inside and outside and just worked on his health and his sleep and his brain and his health and his nutrition, his diet, his gut, his mitochondria, his methylation, without knowing it at the time. And by the age of 8, we could look at each other and say he no longer has symptoms and he could go back into mainstream school. So just this little episode to tell you what not to waste time on, how to speed up the process, and how to not make the mistakes that I made. And if you need help with any of that, I'll tell you in a moment how you can find that specific and tailored version of the turnaround process for your child so that you don't spend so much time on trial and error like I did. Okay, so to sum this all up, my son went from neurotypical on track to severely autistic back to neurotypical again. And we've been working on that continuously, and I'll cover that in a later episode. But we went from being off track when we were in the biomedical field to being completely on track from around his age 7. And what didn't work was protocols and supplements, like one-size-fits-all supplements, practitioners, and all these tests, and focusing on the symptoms and focusing on the child, because there are 3 reasons why symptoms happen. One is we get sick in this world. This fallen world is full of toxins. It's artificial indoor lifestyle. It's manipulated food, manipulated entertainment, city life, stress. Just complete it. We live a life that God didn't design us to live. And because of that, we have methylation issues. We have nutritional deficiencies and overloads. We have mitochondrial issues. We have gut issues. We have immune issues. And these things need to be addressed. That's a part of it. But a much bigger part of this is that the symptoms also is a sign, it's a wake-up call, it's an awakening process. These children are ministering to you about the things that you're doing, where your walk with yourself, your walk through autism, and your walk with God, and your walk with others is off track. And that shows through symptoms, through depression, through hopelessness, and through helplessness. And unfortunately, the dark side, the enemy, wants to use that to keep you stuck and sick and destroyed. God wants to use this bad situation that you are in to test you, to shape you, to bring you to your knees so that you change your life and your ways and your walk.
And these are heart issues. So the heart and whether or not you're right with God and your walk through life will actually determine how your neurotransmitters, your immune system work, your gut health works, because the heart is connected to the brain and it decides based on what you tell it and what you experience, whether or not you're safe or in danger, at peace or diseased, in destruction mode or in repair mode. So physically and spiritually, that is a huge key that I didn't understand until very late, and I was still working on it after my son's recovery. So it's a test, and then there's a spiritual way that God uses a bad situation to turn it into good. He uses it for good. He used my rebellion against God and my lack of understanding and no knowledge of God and my destructive ways to bring me to my knees and to teach me, and I was so slow to learn this, how I needed him and how I needed to glorify him in the end, and how magnificent is it that my son's independence, the fact that he's living independently now and his turnaround process is now glorifying God and helping so many other moms. He also uses symptoms and problems to discipline us, to teach us where we are listening to the lies of the enemy and the ways of the world, the vanity, the lust, the desire, the destruction, the jealousy, the superficiality, the artificial life here on planet Earth, the fallen ways. And he uses it to glorify himself through amazing healing. So until we understand that there's a spiritual aspect, there's a biological aspect, there's a physiological aspect, there's a biochemical aspect, there's an environmental aspect and an existential aspect to autism, we won't understand the full complete puzzle. It's such a beautiful and such a hard job that you've got, but you've been chosen for it. You've been given this child and your talents, and God is observing you to see how you're handling these talents. And that's going to determine the outcome. So I can't wait to share the rest of this journey with you, because so much has happened since my son was 8 and no longer had symptoms to now where he has gone back and repaired and developed the skills that he missed out on. If you want my help, if you want to talk to me about your situation, about your walk with autism, and about what might be a good game plan for you going forward, feel free to go to barefootautismwarriors.com/podcasts/169 for this episode. You can also go to barefootautismwarriors.com, click on podcasts or click on free resources, or you can send me an email if you like. I'm ready. I'm at point of no return. I've tried everything. I need help. Send me an email, contact@barefootautismwarriors.com, and write "help me" in the subject line. Then I know to get back to you personally. For now, take care. Guard your heart. Stay on track. You got this. You were chosen for this. See you soon.